Hello, everyone. Welcome to Lab Medicine's podcast series. My name is Kelly Swales, and I'm the web editor for Lab Medicine. I'm excited to introduce a new series called Clinical Conversations, hosted by Christopher Madej and Michelle Brown. Christopher is an academic coordinator and assistant professor at the University of Alabama, Birmingham. Michelle is a clinical education coordinator and assistant professor at the University of Alabama, Birmingham. They're going to focus on how the laboratory and clinical teams can speak to each other for the betterment of patient care. Go redraw. That's the birthday. You didn't label it. That's the birthday. Send the wrong tubes and yeah, that's the birthday. And you know we don't run no blood without a birthday. Mommy in the lab, urine full of cast, but mommy the prep is wet. If you into whipping that, I'm into my pipette. Sign in the running stats. So come with solid stool for see if I send it back. You can find me in the lab. Well, we would like to thank you all for joining us for the inaugural podcast of Clinical Conversations. This is going to be a casual kind of conversations between the laboratory and the clinical teams. I'm one of your co-hosts, Christopher Madej. I am a physician assistant. I've been practicing now for about 6 years, and I teach in the School of Health Professions in their physician assistant department. And a lot of this came out of a lot of the interprofessional simulation work that we have done with interprofessional teams across the university setting about how really bad we are talking with each other. And we were hoping in this podcast to be able to highlight a few of those things. So my co-host is...
I am Michelle Brown. I have been in the laboratory for 18 years, mostly in the blood bank. I'm also an assistant professor here at UAB with Chris Madej, and we've been able to get the laboratory involved in some of these simulations, and I've been able to observe with students and, unfortunately, in practice, some really poor clinical conversations, and that's why we've gotten this podcast together.
All right, so let's lead off with a case, because a lot of clinical conversations start off with a case. Hey, Michelle. This is Chris Madej.
Hey, Chris.
Working up in OBGYN. I've got Miss Olson. She's a G3 P2103 we've got scheduled in the morning for a total abdominal hysterectomy and bilateral oophorectomy. And, you know, she's had three pregnancies before. These little guys, they did not want to come out. And I'm really anticipating a little bit of a bloody mess tomorrow morning. And, you know, I want to make sure that we got some blood available for her, so that if we run into any issues, you know, because she's been saying she's a little presyncopal and, you know, having some issues with that. And she may be anemic. I don't know. But I just wanted to give you a heads up that we're going to need some blood ready on her in the morning.
Okay. It looks like we've got her specimen, and I'll give you a call if we have any problems.
All right. Sounds good.
Hey, Chris. This is Michelle in the blood bank.
Hey, Michelle.
About Miss Olson. I was finishing her workup. We got her type and screen. I did her type or screen. I was working on a panel, and we've definitely got an antibody there. She's also got a history. She's got a history of an anti-C. I haven't finished the workup to see what she's got going on right now. It's pretty weak, but I'll run some selected cells, maybe some ficin, and see what's going on with two antibodies. It's going to be interesting to find blood for her. She's B negative, so I may have to switch her over to O negative.
You lost me. I stopped paying attention to you about 30 seconds ago. I have no idea what you're talking about. What does this mean? So how many times have you all had this conversation? Go ahead and raise your hand right now. Go ahead and put your hand down because you look ridiculous while you're driving. So this is a conversation that Michelle and I have been talking about happens all the time, where we as the clinical team end up trying to figure out what information you need, but it ends up being a whole bunch of just extraneous information that isn't pertinent for what you guys need in the lab, and vice versa.
We do the same thing. Sometimes we call the clinicians, and we're just discussing cells and strength of reactions and PEG panels and phenotyping and cross-matching, and it's really a whole lot of information you guys probably don't need, huh?
No, not at all. So the the thought process for this inaugural episode was, it's kind of hard to have a clinical conversation unless you know how the conversation is going to be scripted. And as we have found in medicine, a lot of things are very regimented in terms of there's a way to write an H&P, there's a way to write a lab report, I'm assuming. There are just ways that you do things. And conversations are the exact same way. And what we have found, again, with a lot of our interprofessional work in simulation, is that when we have clinical team, you know, physicians, you know, we wanted to touch on the term APPs, or advanced practice providers, mid-level practitioners, which I can't stand, which basically just encompasses physician assistants, PAs, as well as nurse practitioners, NPs, and then the nursing staff, which is trained on a whole completely different model. The sort of medical model of conversations, which you're going to more than likely hear from physicians and physician assistants, is based off of what we call SOAP. And SOAP stands for subjective, objective, assessment, and plan. So this is how we script our conversations when we're talking with each other, is we lead off with subjective findings. You know, this is Ms. Olson, she's a G3P2103. You know, that's talk for us, but it gets us in the mindset of what's going on with this patient. Then we hit on our objective variables, which is things that we found on physical exam or vital signs, then our assessment, you know, what are we going to do? We're scheduling her for a total abdominal hysterectomy. And then our plan, what are we expecting to see? I'm worried that this is going to be a big bloody mess. So I think I have now given all of the relevant information to Michelle in the lab, when really everything that I said in that entire conversation was kind of pointless, wouldn't you say?
A little bit overkill for what we need to know.
Right.
I appreciate that when Chris called, he was trying to share information with me and get me up to speed with the rest of the clinical team so that we can all work together. But really, it ends up being way too much detail when a clinician goes through the whole SOAP model for conversation. And so we'll work on how to be succinct between the clinical team and laboratory, and we can understand each other well. I wanted to introduce a way of communicating that nursing often uses, as Chris was just saying. They often use SBAR. SBAR stands for situation, background, assessment, and recommendation. And I think this is a model that we could adopt in the laboratory for when we're talking to clinicians. So we could give them a little bit of background on the patient that we do have a specimen a little bit of the situation. That we do have a specimen on Ms. Olson, and that her antibody screen is positive. She has had several pregnancies, so we're concerned that she might have additional antibodies. With the assessment, it needs to be brief, where before I gave him way too much information about my panels and my phenotyping and whatnot. It could be that I let him know that it's going to take 2 to 3 hours for me to be able to finish this antibody identification. And then I really want to empower the lab staff to emphasize this R, which is recommendation, because we're part of the team and we need to be able to work together. We're the experts in this area, so we should feel comfortable recommending to the clinical team how long it's going to take, having conversations about whether or not surgery needs to be delayed, whether it needs to be the next morning, do we need a new specimen, but go ahead and put our recommendations out there for how to best approach transfusion with this patient. So that's the term SBAR. That nursing uses, and since most of the time when the lab is communicating with the clinical team, it's with nursing, that would also provide a consistency between our conversations.
And I like the recommendation piece, because again, just coming from the clinical standpoint, you know, I typically don't always call down to the lab just to yell about how long things are taking, although that's that happens an awful lot.
There's a little perception that happens
right.
Sometimes.
But, you know, the majority of the time I'm calling down there is because I really just don't know what to make of something, or I need some recommendations on, hey, I've got this person, I need to know what lab to order, what would you recommend? And I have just found in my experience in clinical practice is that's a relatively hard thing to find somebody in the lab who is willing to go out on a limb and give a recommendation, just because, you know, talking with Michelle and getting a little bit more versed in her profession is that's just historically not been something that has been taught or really enforced. So it's certainly nice to have that recommendation of just coming out and saying, this is what I think and this is why we're doing this, because we'll take it and say, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. And we don't have this whole running around of, you know, all these different antibodies, because I don't know how long each one of those things take. And really my end result is just, how long is it going to take me to get the blood to the bedside, and do I need to delay the surgery? And if you say yes, then that's fine. We're 100% okay with it. We might complain and yell and throw things, and you'll hear us from four floors down. But if that's the recommendation, that's the recommendation, because ultimately it's taking care of the patient and making sure that they have a good outcome.
Yeah, and that's going to help with you forming your plan.
Exactly. If this is going to take some time to get the blood, then I can push her back a couple of cases and still be able to do the surgery, but give her enough opportunities to do what's safe by the patient, which, again, goes on behind the scenes from my standpoint of, I don't really know what all goes into it. The blood just magically makes its way to the bedside, and I want to make sure that that blood is as safe as possible.
Yeah, and so then there's a clear distinction between the technical conversations we need to have with each other in the lab, from technologist to technologist or technologist to pathologist, about cells that we're running, additional testing that needs to be done. So there's a technical conversation we need to be able to have, but then there's a clinical conversation that looks completely different when we talk to the clinical team.
And you guys are in a very unique role in that you are talking to just about everybody in the hospital, between the nursing staff and the clinical team. And the way we talk to one another is completely different. And, you know, we're stubborn and we're stuck in the ways of how we talk. But you've got to be able to take the information that we're giving you, process it, and then be able to give it to the rest of your team in a succinct manner. And then you might be calling back and you might not even be talking to me. You may be talking to the nurse. Now you've got to change everything that you were getting ready to tell me. Now needs to be put in a frame where now they can understand it. And hopefully, now that you, maybe you knew this, maybe you didn't, but we have found in our practice of students and certainly working in simulation with other professionals is that nobody really knows how everybody else talks. And, I certainly didn't know what SBAR was because I was trained in SOAP. So now that I know what SBAR is, even in my clinical practice, when I'm talking to nurses or talking to other staff and I see that that's the framework that they're using, I now can reshift in what I'm expecting to hear, as well as the recommendations that I can give back, because that's what they're expecting.
Absolutely.
So this was our quick and introductory podcast. We're hoping that we're going to do more things like this, where we're going to break down topics between clinical staffs and sort of give us a little insight to what the clinical team is thinking on common conditions that you may come across down in the lab, as well as how you would relay that information to the clinical staff. And now that we have a little bit of a framework, hopefully it'll make a little bit more sense moving forward.